Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, the podcast. Check the guys out live weekday mornings from 6 to 10 Eastern on ESPN Radio.
Pass caught, Kelsey, touchdown. Well, the Raiders are going backward as this thing is unraveling. He's got another 4 on the night.
This is an opportunity now for the Raiders.
Adams, he's got it. 47 seconds left, no timeouts. Receiver falls down, and the Chiefs will win this game.
Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, ESPN Radio. The ESPN app. Click more on the app. Lower right-hand corner. Scroll down and listen live. We are portable. If you have a phone in your pocket, which you do, you have Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max with you live phones, wherever you are. We're on ESPNU nowadays. We're presented by Progressive Insurance, and you can join the conversation on the Dr. Pepper call-in line, 888-SAY-ESPN, 729-3776. Does the NFL have a problem with a roughing the passer rule? By the way, are the Chiefs to beat, the team to beat in the AFC? Good morning, Key. Good morning, Harry Douglas in for Jay. Today, guys, Chiefs fell down 17-0 to the Raiders on Monday Night Football, but wound up winning 30-29. Four touchdown passes from Mahomes to Kelsey. Mahomes passes Troy Aikman on the all-time touchdown passing list, right? 75th. He moves into 75th place.
Okay. I was about to ask you, what place is that?
But Aikman had a 12-year career, started the whole time. Mahomes is, and it's a new era, of course. But
75 more quarterbacks with more touchdowns than that?
Four and a half. Well, yeah, Emmitt Smith, he's handing him the ball.
Oh,
a lot,
not just quarterbacks, the touchdowns in general.
That he's throwing.
But you said Emmitt Smith.
Yeah, but I'm saying that's what keeps the total down for Aikman, is you have a running back like Emmitt Smith, you're not going to be throwing as many touchdowns as someone who doesn't have Emmitt Smith.
Yeah, but you said 75th, right?
He's 75th on
so
the list.
So that's what I said. Is 74 more quarterbacks have thrown more touchdowns?
Yeah, so it sounds like a lot, right?
Yeah, it seems like a lot.
I believe that's correct. We could double-check
that. No, of course
that.
It's probably correct. I'm just saying when you hear it, it just sounds like a lot, right?
It does.
You would think Aikman is like top 20 all-time in touchdown throws or something.
See, I wouldn't think it, though, because of the era he played in.
Yeah.
Yeah, but that era was just around the corner.
But he just told you, Emmitt Smith is taking away a lot of things that he possibly wanted to
do. No, I understand that, but think about it. That era was around the corner. It's not like it was 60 years ago.
Aikman was not a huge stat guy. Everyone knew he was a top five quarterback year in and year out, but he was never considered number one, and he wasn't an enormous stat compiler.
But think about 74? The league passing just started happening 8 years ago where they started throwing the ball all over the lot. That's why I'm like.
Yeah. No,
wasn't 8 years
15.
Ago.
Was it 15?
Yeah, because.
But I bet you 74 is 172 or whatever the number, right. 180, 181.
If he was around today, Aikman would be much, much, much higher on the list because he'd be in a much more pass-happy offense no matter who he was playing for, right? But because he's a great quarterback. But anyway, he passes Aikman on the list. Kelsey grabs four touchdown passes. McDaniel decides to go for the extra for the 2-point conversion instead of kicking the point,
the
extra point, the PAT, right? And as a result, they don't make it barely. As a result, they lose by 1 point. Now, coming in this morning, I was like, I don't mind being aggressive. Try to win the game. Stop being scared of the negative outcome, right? On the other hand, you guys point out, there were 4 minutes and 27 seconds left in the game. You know, the chances are, I don't care how your defense is playing, Patrick Mahomes with 4 minutes plus is going to at least get you in field goal range, and you're probably going to get the ball back, right? So people want to talk about that. Guys, there's so much to get into about last night. Davante Adams is facing discipline from the NFL for shoving a credentialed person on the field. Guys, we have not talked about that yet this morning. I think we ought to. Here is Davante Adams at the post-game press conference.
I don't know. It was I had a little collision with Hunter on the left side. I didn't see anything after I released and got back vertical. We ended up running into each other, so that's all that I saw. I don't even know where the ball went or nothing. I was on the ground, so I didn't see that. And before I answer anything else, I want to apologize to the guy. There's some guy running off the field, and he ran. He jumped in front of me. We're coming off the field, and I bumped into him and kind of pushed him, and then he ended up on the ground. So I want to say sorry to him for that because that was just frustration mixed with him running and literally just running in front of me. And that was – shouldn't have responded that way, but that's how I initially responded. So I want to apologize to him for that.
I'm not laughing at the incident. I'm laughing at the response to the question about the young man that was shoved to the ground by Devontae Adams.
Shouldn't have ran out in front of me, Key.
Man, that man didn't run out in front of him.
That man was walking, literally walking by.
Yeah. I think Devontae Adams forgot that there's camera phones all over.
Just lying.
Yeah, just.
He's walking. He's casually walking by.
He forgot, man, that there's camera phones and there's cameras and people, things of that nature. So he was just trying to wiggle his way out of it, real slimy and squirmy. But look, here's what I would say. He's wrong. He's dead ass wrong. You don't put your hands on anybody. Okay, he didn't throw a beer at you. He didn't shove you. He didn't do anything to you.
He's living his life, holding
he's working and doing his job, and he had the right to be in that particular area of the stadium. Devontae is completely wrong. Completely. So whatever discipline comes, he deserves it. Whatever discipline
comes. Much like you said when we were talking Ron Rivera.
Don't touch me, and I won't touch you.
Much like you said when we were talking Ron Rivera, Key. I thought you made a very good point when we were talking about Ron Rivera criticizing Carson Wentz. As a player, you're not allowed to do that to the coach. So out of respect, the coach should show you the same courtesy and be held to the same standard. So here, a fan is not allowed to throw stuff at a player, shove him. And by the same token, a player should not do that to somebody else.
As I said, he's dead-ass wrong,
that's not
Harry.
A fan, though. That's a, yeah, right. A that's a guy with a camera walking, and you could tell he's not paying attention to Devontae Adams. He's just walking by trying to do his job, minding his own business. And he just gets shoved to the ground. Like, there's no place in the National Football League for players to do that, man.
See, I would have laid down.
Me too.
I wouldn't have never got up. I'd have been laying down.
My neck and my back.
My neck, my back, everything
Go
hurts.
See a doctor for a bacchiotomy?
No, they'd have had to bring out the stretcher. Remember when Dennis Rodman kicked the cameraman that year?
Yeah.
Oh, you're going to have to lay. I'm going to lay down. Oh, I'm about to lay down. I'm calling Harry Douglas Johnson and
tell him
tomorrow.
You want to know why things like that occur, though? Mm. You just dropped the 3rd-and-1 that basically cost your team advancing the ball.
You're frustrated.
You're frustrated. You had 2 go routes that could potentially could have been touchdowns that, you know, Derek Carr threw it short. You got the pass interference. And all I can think of is if that's Aaron Rodgers, those are touchdowns. You know, your team.
You ran into Renfro at the end of the game.
Exactly. The 4th-and-1.
Let's read the quote from Devontae Adams. We just put it up on the screen. Let's put it back up and read the quote. Sorry to the guy I pushed over at the game. Obviously very frustrated at the way the game ended, and he ran in front of me as I exited. That was my reaction. I felt horrible immediately. That's not me. My apologies, man. Hope you see this. I mean, that does sound accurate to me, guys, that description. Sounds accurate. He ran in front of me. He was frustrated. Someone was in his way. He shoved him. He shouldn't have done it.
I understand you, Max. And I understand
Devontae
Adams.
Definitely didn't run in front of him.
I like Devontae Adams, and I know Devontae Adams. The man did not run in front of him. The man was walking
His perception, you could see where all of a sudden the guy pops up out of nowhere.
No, that is not a run. Max, we're not going to do this.
Let me see.
That's a walk. The guy's walking.
But it looked to me like the cameraman changed his – like, I could. In other words, I don't think Devontae's lying there.
Regardless.
It's just his perception.
He's exaggerating it. He's exaggerating run versus walk.
Look where Devontae's looking. He's looking off to the side a little bit. Then the cameraman kind of gets up, it looks like, from a crouching position. So from Devontae's point of view, it could have looked like someone just appeared in his line of sight. So therefore, he inferred that he ran.
So somebody appeared in your line of sight.
I'm going to grab him.
You don't push him.
I'm going to grab him.
You don't.
I'm just saying I don't think Devontae's lying there. You see what
I'm saying? Well, that's not a lie. That's an exaggeration.
Or it's something that's not true that he's not aware is not true. I don't know if he's aware that what he said wasn't true. That's what I mean by lie.
No, he's aware.
You think so?
Max!
If you look at where Devontae was looking and how the camera dude kind of popped up,
either you I can see from his point of view why he thinks he was hired to defend him against the league suspension
I thought we were doing Johnson and Douglas Kellerman.
My natural reactions would be to grab him, though, Max. Right. Not, you know what I'm saying? Especially in that setting. I'm not. What if that was a woman, man?
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying?
No, it's not even a woman.
No, I'm just saying in general. Like, what if that was a lady walking by with the camera?
Absolutely.
Like, we think it's bad now. You know how much worse it would be if that was a lady walking by?
He's like, with a stroller and an infant.
And I want you to understand.
We don't have to make it more than it is. It was what it was.
No, I'm just saying.
Yeah.
That's walking past a tunnel.
Right.
Do you know what a tunnel is made of on the floor?
Yeah, concrete.
It's concrete.
Yeah.
Okay? Those walls are concrete. That floor is concrete. And I understand frustration, man. We all get frustrated when things aren't working. I'm looking at Green Bay and Aaron Rodgers. It sure looks good to me right now. I'm messing around with my coach who's kicking, going for two instead of kicking PATs with 4 minutes and 27 seconds to go. It's frustration.
Yep.
But you can't do that.
Yeah.
You cannot do that. That's why he's up for suspension.
So, and by the way, we all agree that's appropriate. Yep. So the referee on the roughing the passer call, before we even get to going for two instead of the kicking the extra point, McDaniel decision late in the game, and they wound up losing by that point. The Raiders did. After jumping out to a 17-0 lead, they lost 30-29. There was a play during where Chris Jones strip sacks Derek Carr. Clean play. Ref called roughing the passer. Now, Carl Cheffers said, quote, the quarterback is protected from being tackled with full body weight, who said the fact that Jones took the ball away was irrelevant. My ruling was roughing the passer for that reason. Guys, yes, he did land on him with full body weight. That was not his intention. I don't see how if you can try to, with one hand, strip the ball out and, yeah. And at the same time tackle the guy, you're in a position to also brace him and break the fall, right? Now, they may say intention is irrelevant there, but it's kind of ridiculous that, in my view, that that was a roughing the passer when they really was possession of the ball. So does the NFL have a problem with the actual rule, the interpretation of the rule, the application of the rule? Should they make it reviewable? What do you think, Key?
No, I think everything that the rule is fine. I don't mind the rule. I think it's human error, though. I think it's the referee, somebody getting in the ref's vision. All he sees is Carr going down and a 330-pounder landing on top of him. I think if he goes back and he was to have an opportunity to review that, he would then see, oh, okay, it's not what I thought. Or today or last night, whenever he watched it, I'm sure he says to himself, yeah, I probably shouldn't have done that. That probably is not the right call.
Reviewable, yes or no? Should they make it reviewable?
I think so.
I agree. As long as it's quick. It does. A review doesn't take 10 minutes. It should take literally 10 seconds. You get a better angle, make the call. DeMario Davis, New Orleans Saints linebacker with us. Now, DeMario, what are your thoughts on roughing the passer calls on Chris Jones last night and Grady Jarrett versus the Bucs on Sunday?
What's going on, gentlemen? Thanks for having me on. I mean, I think it's tough. You know, certainly referees have a tough job to do. A lot of times, none of us would want to be in that position, you know, making those calls under pressure. And to Keyshawn's point, I think the call is fine, or the rules are fine. It's just coming down to human judgment. And the thing that I would want to see happen in a lot of situations is let the play out a little bit longer versus being so quick to throw the flag or make the call. You know, it's like a situation where they blow a play dead, and it's a forced fumble for a touchdown. Now the offense has to get the ball where they landed because they blew the play dead, saying it was an incomplete pass or it was not a fumble, but it was a real fumble, and so they overturn it, but the ball doesn't get to the end zone because they stopped the play. So sometimes I would just like to see them let it play out a little bit longer and maybe get confirmation from another ref before they make that call, because once you call it, it's not going to get reviewed, and now it has to stand, especially in those fourth quarter situations when the game is on the line.
Double D, how could the league fix the way that they call this penalty, roughing the quarterback? Because I was saying earlier, and you know this, you get to the quarterback, right? If you grab him by the back of the collar, it's horse collar. If you hit him below the waist around his knees, that's roughing. If you hit him underneath his chin with your shoulder pad, that's roughing. So how can they fix these problems with the quarterback?
That's what I was saying earlier. I feel like they need – it's not going to be – I don't think it's anything that you can implement in the rules that's going to make it, you know, better. You know, if we keep doing this, you're going to be reviewing every single play after a while. And I think, you know, you try to get too strict with the rules. And that's why we have where we're at, because it's so many rules. Like, you can't hit them low. You can't hit them high. Now it's almost like you can't grab them and slam them. even though you're getting a sack. And so I do think it's going to come down to the referees making those judgment calls. It's really going to be on them. And I don't know what that training looks like. I don't know where they have to what they have to look at differently. I think if they just, you know, sometimes it's such a bang bang play and they want to make the call, you just got to let it play out a few more seconds. You may be late with the flag, but I'd rather you be a little bit late with the flag to make a game changing decision that's in the wrong direction, because the offense definitely not going to complain even if you had the wrong decision.
Look, Mr. Davis, we got to get to y'all game, because y'all was able to get a win over the Seattle Seahawks. The second half of that game, it was going back and forth. Y'all was scoring. The Seahawks was scoring. How did y'all finally pull through and get a victory that I thought personally y'all really needed?
That was just our mission for the week, just to go 1-0. And no matter what happened in the game, there was a lot of ebbs and flows, ups and downs in all phases of the game. But, you know, we just band together and stay focused on the goal through it all, and we were able to prevail.
You know, I felt like that Coach Dennis Allen and company certainly listened to me after the London debacle, because I was wondering where Taysom Hill was at. Y'all found him in the offense. How important is he, though, to the offense, Double D, to involve him, get him involved?
Oh, man. I mean, he's just an unbelievable talent. I mean, he's been doing this for his entire career. And, you know, we call him the Swiss Army Knife just because he can do a little bit of everything. He can run the ball. He can throw the ball. He can catch. He can get on defense and tackle. He can kick return, you know, recover fumble. And last game, he just put that all on display. And he put the team on his back. And in a moment where we needed that type of performance. And just goes to show what type of talent he is, man. Just a phenomenal player. Great human being, great teammate. So definitely happy that he was able to perform like he did. It meant a lot for the team.
Yeah, I also thought it was important. A guy, y'all running back, Alvin Kamara, he had a big day rushing the football and receiving the football. How important is he to the offense and what you guys want to do and your chances of winning when he's out there performing like he was this weekend?
Yeah, we certainly have a lot of playmakers, and he's been one of the biggest playmakers for the team for a long time. A do-it-all running back, you know, can hit it inside, outside, catch the ball out of the backfield. It's just a guy that, you know, when you're in the game plan room, you got to spend a lot of attention on how you're going to take 41 or limit 41's production. And so certainly, you know, when he's playing like that, that means well for the rest of the offense, because they got to, you know, try to spend more reinforcements to stop him, and which lets a lot of our other weapons come alive. And that's what we want. You know, we have full strength. We know we got a chance to do a lot of damage, and, you know, and he's a big part of that.
Demario Davis, New Orleans Saints linebacker, joining us this morning on Keyshawn, J. Will. And, of course, Max is here with us. Double D, when you look at the defense from a year ago, even over the last couple of years, you've been a top five defense. This year, a little bit of struggling, not as solid and sound as you would like. And Dennis Allen is kicked up from defensive coordinator, now wearing the head coaching tag as well as the DC. How can you guys get things turned around so you can get back to where you were a year ago?
We just keep chopping wood, keep sharpening the axe day by day. I think when you have a good process, that's what you focus on. You continue to sharpen that process and the product to take care of itself, brick by brick, and that's our philosophy. We've been able to play, you know, phenomenal defense in the past just because of our process. That was just the byproduct of our process, and that's what we're staying locked in on, is just continue to sharpen that process, and everything's going to be all right.
Sound like a true veteran who's been around many coaches in his young day in football. Not giving you anything, right? Just chopping wood. We're going to brick
Demario
by brick.
Key should open, I always say, should open like a consult, you know, a consulting firm for coaches, you know, when they put their foot in the mouths at the press conference and players and stuff. But Key, you would say that was perfect, that answer, right?
Oh, yeah, perfect.
Perfect.
Yeah.
That answer's perfect. No consultation
I just
want to
know where Demario came from, though.
Yeah.
The name.
Go ahead, DeMario.
Oh, my mom named me DeMario. She spent 3 days in the hospital before she named me. She couldn't come up with the name, and then it just hit her.
See, that's just, yeah.
I'm glad she gave me the name.
See, that the thing with us, man, is black folk, I tend to say at times, we can mess up some names, man. How we come up with certain stuff? It's like, was it supposed to be D? Hey. Then it became Mario, and then she was like, oh, I'm just going to name him DeMario.
Had an uncle at some point, Mario.
Yeah, Mario, or Key, and then Sean. It's like, who comes up with this stuff?
Well, his mom, he told you.
I know, I got it.
Took her 3 days to get it just right.
Some people nowadays, they take forever to name their kids.
Hey, that name is important, man. That name is important. Now, you look at Keyshawn, you look at DeMario, those names have meant a lot in the world, man. So they knew something. Yes. We did.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah.
Keyshawn, your mom invented that, right? I never heard of a Keyshawn before you, but I hear a lot of Keyshawns now.
I don't know where my mother got it from, but I'm certainly glad I'm Keyshawn.
By the way.
Is it Keyshawn or Keyshawn? I'm trying to make sure the listeners understand.
By the way, Shaquille is like that. Shaqs are everywhere. Never heard of Shaquille before Shaquille O'Neal. Raekwon is like that. Raekwon from Wu-Tang. I never heard of Raekwon before Raekwon. Everyone's Raekwon now.
Why you look at me like that?
Because I'm
Keyshawn.
You know,
why you looking at me like that?
Because you know my name ain't no damn Keyshawn.
Well, you know, some people messes it up like that. So I
the only
make
people
sure.
mess it up is Max people.
My people.
What do you mean by that, Key?
Never mind. Hey, man, Double D. Thank you, Double D, for joining us this morning.
My people were running barefoot through Ukraine when the other people were messing up your name. I don't know what you're talking about. DeMario Davis, ladies and gentlemen.
Y'all enjoy y'all morning, man.
New Orleans.
All right, man, get
Saints
my nephew back on the field, man.
The puck drops on a new NHL season tonight, and the NHL commissioner, Gary Bettman, will join the show.
Listen to Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max live everywhere you are. Download the ESPN app. Tap the More tab on the bottom right. Scroll down and tap Live Radio. ESPN Radio, everywhere you are.
Hi, it's Mike Greenberg letting you know ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sportsbook of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me, plus many more. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today. New users get a bet reset up to $1,000 in bonus bets if your first bet doesn't win. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
We all know breakfast is an important part of your day. But sometimes when you're traveling for business, you end up staying at a hotel that doesn't offer any. You know what happens? You grab a cup of coffee and skip the meal entirely. We've all been there. But if you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you can enjoy their free Bright Side breakfast featuring delicious baked goods, fruit, eggs, yogurt, and waffles. And really, who doesn't want to start their day with a fresh hot waffle? Tonight, La Quinta, tomorrow you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
And look who we have in studio here on Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max. Today, Harry Douglas in for J. Will. None other than the NHL commissioner himself, Gary Bettman. Good morning, commissioner.
Good morning. Great to be with you.
Great to have you.
Yes.
So we're coming off one of the most exciting seasons in recent memory. Would you say that's fair to say?
We had a great season last year. And, you know, the last 2.5 years certainly had its challenges. But the game is in great shape on the ice and off the ice. Last season was competitive, entertaining. The playoffs were great. Young stars performed at an incredible level. And we're looking forward to more of the same.
Given that, and the fact that there was also a compelling playoff run, as is often the case, and higher TV ratings throughout the season, how would you, and you started to just then, but assess the state of the NHL, give a state of the league address going into the opening night tonight in the U.S. with games in the two biggest markets, New York and L.A., on ESPN.
Although we have a little bit of baseball competition in both markets, but it's a great time of year for sports fans. On and off the ice, we've never been stronger. Our franchises are strong. Our business partnerships are strong. Our fan engagement is sensational. Being back on ESPN, you know, we saw the results last season, and we're expecting this season to be equally as good, if not better. But most importantly, Young stars doing great, amazing things on the ice has given us a compelling, most compelling, probably in our history, entertaining, competitive game. And I'll put us up against any sport in terms of entertainment value, excitement, emotion, and competitive balance.
Commissioner, not that it's completely gone away, but over the last 3 years, 2.5 years or so, obviously we've been dealing with huge pandemic issues in all sports, in the world in general. And when you look at the restrictions in Canada, so to speak, and here in the U.S., how have, you know, NHL dealt with that, and how effective has that been?
Like everyone else, I am so sick of COVID, pun intended. The fact of the matter is we had a lot of challenges. We had a shortened season that we had to realign because we couldn't get teams in and out of Canada. But I think with the great cooperation we got from our clubs and the players and the Players Association, we made the adjustments that had to be made. The restrictions in Canada have been lifted, mm-hmm. so free flow back and forth across the border. I was actually in Gander, Newfoundland on Thursday night for a Kraft Hockeyville game, what we play in a local community rink. But we should have a normal season. And that sounds great, and that feels great, because for everybody it was a challenge. And remember, last season we had to reschedule over 150 games on the fly, which we did. This season should be fine.
What are the biggest challenges, though, in the NHL this season for you?
I think the challenge is to keep it going.
Yeah.
I mean, the game's in a great place. We're anticipating really an exciting competitive season again. And it's really making sure our fans are getting the engagement, whether it's on ESPN or on digital social media platforms. We want to make sure that we're connecting with our fans in every way possible, using NHL Edge, among other things, which is the player and puck tracking. We think the opportunities for us to continue to grow are great.
I think last year, well, the 2022 playoffs was very exciting for me. I am a huge hockey fan. I'm a Bruins fan, a Bergeron jersey, everything in my closet, the whole nine. But being able to watch a lot of those hockey games and, you know, advancement games, deciding which team is going to advance, and then you look at the conference finals, and now the finals was a little, you know, lopsided, but you look at a team like the Colorado Avalanche, and you look at these young players in hockey today, how important is it to the league that these young players come along quickly and become stars?
You know, there are two things going on. One, the game has probably never been more skillful and younger in terms of scoring. The number of players who are having great scoring performances under the age of 25 is probably unprecedented. Number of players who had 100 points, number of players who had 50 goals or more. Austin Matthews, you know, most goals ever by an American player. I mean, the stories are great, and we want to keep that going. But by the same token, you have Alex Ovechkin, an ageless wonder, trying to, and likely will, break Gordie Howe's goal-scoring record. I think he needs 21 goals to do that. And he may even break a record if he continues to play at this level that everybody thought was unbreakable, which is Wayne Gretzky's 894 goals scored. And over the next 2-3 years, we're going to watch a great race to see if he can actually break that record. And that's something that Wayne himself has embraced. That's what's great about sports.
Yeah, it's funny because I look at the NHL and NBA, NFL and NBA. They had two different models, it seemed. One promoted the players as stars, the NBA. The NFL, the team, right? Yeah. Of course, the quarterback and coach. And both were highly successful. But in the mid-70s, it wasn't preordained that the NFL was going to be this behemoth, right? I mean, the average lineman made something like $30,000 a year on the offensive line. It was through the stewardship of the sport that it got there. Is there anything, because you mentioned just keep this going, as the commissioner, you think, as the steward of the highest hockey league in the land, there is something I can do to guide it into the way the NFL did it from the 1970s till now?
Well, a couple of things. One, we need to continue to tell the compelling stories that we have. We think we are the most team-centric the most edgy, the most emotional, and the fastest game there is. And we have extraordinary competitive balance. You look at the number of teams that turn over year after year to make the playoffs. But by the same token, our players, particularly the younger ones, are now more fully embracing their personalities and putting themselves out there on social media in ways that they hadn't done perhaps historically. And I think this may give us a combination that's the best of both worlds. And when you look at our media arrangements, particularly being back on ESPN, it gives us an opportunity to continue to reach out to fans and grow.
Yeah, when I look at the Colorado Avalanche and how they beat the two-time defending champion Tampa Bay Lightning last year, and I look at their core group, what are the chances in your eyes that this team can become the next dynasty in hockey?
That is one of the all-time great questions that I will not answer. Because if I make predictions and they come true, then people start saying I had something to do with it.
Conspiracy theory.
Of course. You know, but Joe Sakic has done a great job of putting this team together. You think about the Tampa Bay Lightning to have back-to-back championships under the difficult circumstances. First it was the bubble, then it was the shortened season, and then making it back to the Stanley Cup final for the third year in a row. I mean, that is incredible, and I wouldn't write them off. But the great thing about our game is throughout the regular season, every game matters. Our first round of the playoffs may be the most exciting and unpredictable that you can have in any playoffs. And that's the beauty of our game. Anyone can win on any night, which is a testament to our competitive balance.
Last month, it was reported that the NHL and NHLPA were getting together to form the World Cup of Hockey again. And I guess it hadn't been in place since 2016. How is that coming along?
It's a work in progress. The world situation makes things even more complicated. There's new leadership at the International Ice Hockey Federation. Our players, and they hail from well over 20 countries, love representing their countries. And so best-on-best international competition is important to our players, and that's something we're focused on trying to bring back, and we're trying to work our way through it. Our hope is in the next couple of months we can get it all put together so we can have some sort of formal announcement as to how, when, and where.
Commissioner, thank you for joining us this morning.
Great to be with you.
Commissioner roots for the Kings.
No. Actually, I'm going out there tonight for opening night.
They better not win.
But I have to be in Denver tomorrow night for the banner raising. Mm-hmm. So I figured since I was in the neighborhood, I'd pick up a West Coast game, which will be on ESPN tonight.
It certainly will. That is Gary Bettman, NHL commissioner. We have NHL opening night on ESPN. Starting at 7, it is the Tampa Bay Lightning at the New York Rangers, followed by the Vegas Golden Knights at Los Angeles Kings, and the commissioner will be at that one. Would anything less than a World Series appearance be a failure for the New York Yankees?
From your radio to your smart speaker and phone.
Now playing ESPN Radio.
Or watch on ESPN2. Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max. Live weekday morning starting at 6 Eastern on ESPN Radio and on ESPN2.
For the ones who get it done, Grainger offers high-quality supplies and solutions for every industry, as well as access to product specialists who have the knowledge and experience to answer your toughest questions. Plus, their commitment to being your safety partner can help you keep your facility safe and your people safer. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Have you ridden an electric e-bike yet? You need to check out Electric E-Bikes today, the number one selling e-bike in America. Two things stand out that bikers love about Lectric. Number one, the majority of their models come pre-assembled, so you don't need to be a bike savant to ride them. Number two, Lectric wants to empower riders to spend more time exploring outside on their bikes, so they've made range a priority. Long-range batteries allow riders to hit typically around 65 miles of range or up to 150 miles on some models. Bonus, Lectric has purposefully priced their bikes to be affordably awesome, so you don't have to break the bank to get these sweet rides. See why people who have made the switch to electric bikes have fallen in love with biking again by visiting electricebikes.com. That's L-E-C-T-R-I-C ebikes.com.
So we're just talking to the NHL Commissioner Gary Bettman.
Yes, Gary.
That got us to thinking. When's the last time you guys been out on the ice?
I go every year. I go in December. We go probably three times, I guess. So I haven't been since December. I usually go at Christmas time, go ice skating.
Never been ice skating ever?
Never.
Oh, so fun.
I go skating all the time, like regular skating.
No, but you can do it. You can, for sure, you're an athlete. You can do it 100%. You just, yeah. And then once you get used to it, you start doing the back. You see me, Harry. You, woo! And you get the music.
Can you roller skate, Harry?
No, yeah, I can roller skate.
Oh, you're good. Yeah. Inline skate? Yeah, inline.
You know, that's a thing down south. In Atlanta.
That's why I'm asking. Do, if you couldn't roller skate, then we got a problem.
Roller blading or roller skating?
Roller skating.
Hey, Yates.
I'm going to get.
He said, that's the thing in Atlanta. I say, y'all do a lot in Atlanta.
Key, what airline you like to ride when you fly? Lot. If you can't fly private, what you like to ride?
It depends on where I'm going.
To L.A.?
I'm either going JetBlue or United.
All right. I'm going to give you some sky miles because you need some. I'm going to give you some flight time, Key. You keep playing with me. Keep playing with me.
What's this about?
Well, because he said they do a lot. He said they do. They in Atlanta. I said they do a lot of different stuff in Atlanta.
No, they do.
Yeah, they do.
Don't they?
So Max, you go. Oh, you in on this?
Well, I mean, a lot of different stuff in New York too. It's all right. In LA too.
But ice skate, no man.
But he had this mischievous look on his face.
Yeah, he's giving you a shot.
So the first time I really went ice skating, no Max, and it I got it in my phone too. I found this letter. So when my daughter passed away, you know, you go through everybody's stuff and stuff like that. So it was a letter that she wrote, but I never ever it was in one of her little journal deals. And her and I in Central Park going ice skating. And so
man.
It was like a letter and stuff like that. And it talked about the time of her life as a kid was when her and I went ice skating in Central Park. And and I was the biggest thing she's ever seen on skates before. And nobody would, she was just me and her, and people would leave us alone and just ice skate. It's pretty cool.
I don't know how you can say, you tell that story publicly with a big smile. That pulls at my heartstrings.
Oh, man, it's crazy, man. If you slide to the left or the right, you'll see the letter.
Oh, my God.
In the letter, you read it. You can just read it if you choose to.
Can I read any of it out loud?
Yeah, if you can read it that fast.
One of my favorite times with my dad was getting into Central Park where there's a huge ice skating rink. And me and my dad went ice skating together. Now, I don't know how to ice skate very well. Me and my father still went, and it was so funny. Both of us ate blank a few times. He's the biggest person in the rink. Come on, man.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, it's crazy. Yeah.
I go ice skating with my daughters when I lived in L.A., down to L.A. Live every once in a while. This is amazing, Key. Thanks for sharing that.
Yes, ice skating. Doo-doo-doo.
Listen to Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max live everywhere you are. Download the ESPN app. Tap the More tab on the bottom right. Scroll down and tap Live Radio. ESPN Radio. Everywhere you are.
Hi, it's Mike Greenberg letting you know ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sportsbook of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me, plus many more. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today. New users get a bet reset up to $1,000 in bonus bets if your first bet doesn't win. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Keyshawn Johnson, Eagles fan.
Hey.
God, I hate that song.
No, I'm not an Eagle fan. I'm a
Jalen Hurts fan.
Yeah, I'm not an Eagles fan.
So, guys, we are all girl dads on this show. If you want to be on the show, you got to have a girl, at least one daughter.
Don't
I got three.
It.
Key got a bunch. Jay got, you got one, right, yep. Harry?
Mm-hmm.
Jay Will just had his second daughter, his third child, second daughter, and he's tweeted out a picture of his new little girl, Penelope. Here she is.
I love the name.
A lot of people asking where I've been the last couple days. Say hello to our new little girl, Penelope. Such a blessing to be a father of three now.
Is that the Ritz-Carlton Hotel?
Is that the hospital? Is that his penthouse?
Right?
It might be his penthouse in New York.
That's what I was going to say. That's a hell of a view.
Yeah, man. Really? Come on, man. It's Jay Will. You said the Ritz-Carlton hospital.
It's different having a kid in New York versus like my first one was born in New York City. Mm-hmm. Oh, there were three people in the room. It was a mess. Went out to L.A. Oh, it was beautiful. Had our own room, view of the hills, the whole thing. Different.
Yeah, you had the right. You had a different check then, though, too.
Yeah, right? Yeah, but yeah. I was already living my. I was already doing pretty well when my first one in New York.
Yeah,
it's hard.
But it was a little different, though, right?
I'd never been through it before. I didn't know all the arrangements you had to make. You know, I figured you
Cedars
know.
In L.A.
Cedars,
of
yeah.
Of course. Why would I even ask? For a number of reasons, right?
For a number of reasons, I suppose. Yeah.
What,
no, it was the nearest good hospital to where I live.
Nearest good hospital.
Cedars Sinai.
Max understands what I'm saying. Cedars. Yeah,
it is true. There may have even been a Jewish doctor there. I'm not sure.
I didn't go there.
I'm not
I just
sure. There may have been a Jewish
Cedars.
Doctor in the hospital.
Max, crazy.
I don't know.
No, it
it's weird because I've never met a Jewish doctor
it's
before.
It's a prominent Jewish hospital.
Yeah.
I mean, it's prominent. Oh. It's like.
But I could have went to any hospital that was good and close to my house.
Absolutely. Yeah. But you're not going to any good, close hospital. Let's not fool each other. You're going to Cedars. I'm not Jewish, and we went to Cedars. So come on now. Stop.
Yeah, it was nice, man. You got a view in there and everything. Good people in there. Yeah.
And it doesn't different. Smell like a hospital. That's the
oh perfect. My god! In New
I
York,
the hospital
it's a mess.
Smell.
It doesn't smell like a hospital.
Damn.
It doesn't smell like that at all.
Yeah. How many? But you have two.
I have two kids, but y'all don't have your own room though.
In New York, nope. Not first time. Not when Esther was born.
So when
born,
you
no.
say you don't have your own room, you mean there was people in your room while like, you were having
other
the baby?
Babies?
No. Not when you're having the baby, but like when you got to stay, there are three in a room. Two. Yeah.
Oh no.
Oh yeah.
Oh, hell to the no.
But I was inexperienced then in terms of all those arrangements, too. You know what I mean?
Yeah, you didn't want to write the check either.
I didn't know.
But you wrote the check at Cedars.
I suppose I did.
Yeah, you had to. Yeah,
you write the check. What it is? You know what you might be right about,
you're
Key?
You're writing the check at
Key,
Cedars.
What you might be right about is I had people already doing that
yeah,
stuff by
saying,
the second
that's
one.
What I'm
yeah, I was doing everything the first time. Yeah.
You worked hard to get to the level that you're at to have your babies and take care of things.
Oh, anyway. Would anything less than a World Series appearance. Hey, congratulations, Jay. That's my dude right there, man. Would anything less than a World Series appearance be considered a failure for the Yankees, right? I'm a Yankees fan. I can't say, you could say that about every year for the Yankees.
I was literally about to say, if you make it to the playoffs as a Yankee, a Dodger, and you don't advance, it's a fail.
It's just
like the Lakers. If they make it to the playoffs, I don't care what seed, you failed.
Yeah.
If and you're not in the chip.
The Yankees got to at least win a playoff series here. And the baseball playoffs are a crapshoot. Best team sometimes gets knocked out in the first round. It can happen.
So this is best of five?
No, we're up to seven now.
It's
no,
seven?
No.
This is no. That's right. Five. Yeah, I forgot.
Five.
You know what it is? Because the Mets just got knocked out. I'm thinking we're right. ALDS five. Yeah. 3-5-7.
So 3-5-7-7.
No. ALCS is seven.
Right.
DS is five.
Right. So three for the wild card.
Three.
Five, seven. Right. 3-5-7-7. Yeah. I was thinking it's already the ALCS. Excuse me. We got to win one first.
Relax now, Max.
Yeah, but right now, Yankees are not in great shape in the bullpen, although they do have some good starting pitchers who can go back. I wonder if Taillon and these guys, who are good starting pitchers, not great, but good, can turn themselves into relievers. In other words, when you're a reliever, you're going hard with your two best pitches, right?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Some guys, they're cut out for that because they have real stuff with two pitches. Some guys aren't. Taillon could relieve, sure.
Where do the odds makers have the Yankees finishing?
That's a good question. What do the odds say right now, guys? Do we know in the control room?
I have no idea. I think
Padres, meantime.
Yeah, Padres, nobody care about no Padres.
They made all these moves to beat the Dodgers.
Yes. We own them, though. Yeah. That's why you're chasing us.
Yeah. Dodgers are better top to bottom than the Padres.
When you look at the Padres and you have Musgrove, you have Hugh Darvis, and you have Blake Snell, but then you trade it for Hader. I mean, I'm not just going to sit up here and discount the Padres because of what the Dodgers have done in the regular season. That's the beauty about
baseball.
Postseason play.
Yeah, absolutely.
Right? When you get there, you get into the dance, anything can happen.
But that's what Friedman can do now, though. The difference between him in Tampa and him in L.A. is in Tampa, you got no money. So you're thinking, how do we even just make the playoffs, right? In L.A., Friedman can sit there with his whole staff going, okay, not only are we going to make the playoffs, how do we construct this so we have the best postseason
we have the best postseason roster.
I mean, they thought
roster.
They did that last year, though. They thought they did that last year.
Well, you're not going to do it every year.
Yes, I'm trying to think. They traded for what? Was it Trey Turner from Washington at the time?
But,
and also Max Scherzer.
We
don't know his work.
But it didn't work for us last year. So I'm trying to think. Somebody got hurt.
Kershaw.
Was it Kershaw that got hurt? Yep. Somebody got hurt. I remember that.
Guys, Yankees are favored minus 250 to beat the Guardians. Guardians are plus 200. Braves are favored to beat the Phillies minus 200. Phillies plus 165. Astros favorites over the Mariners plus minus 260. Mariners are plus 210. So that's the widest odds, right?
Yep.
And Dodgers minus 250, Padres plus 200. Dodgers are substantial favorites, better than 2-1.
Well, I'll say for the Yankees, though, and one thing I definitely realize about, you know, postseason baseball play, because you have so many phenomenal bats on different teams, your starting pitching and your relief pitching, if it's not on point, you don't stand a chance.
Yeah, you need, and you need stuff, guys, yes, too. Like all the smoke and mirrors, guys, that plays in the regular season. Yep. But in the postseason, you need the hitters that can hit the best pitching. You need the pitchers
like
with the best stuff.
The Dodgers have. I think the Braves, I think the Astros have that.
Yep. Yep.
Don't worry about what we have.
Oh, when the Yankees are healthy, them too. Like,
fan, Key, I analyze all the teams.
Here's the thing. The Yankees have Aaron Judge and Giancarlo Stanton hitting back-to-back in a lineup. That's a lot. It's a lot. Stanton gets hot. He is the type of dude that can carry you, and he's the second-best power hitter on the team. But, you know, health is a big thing at this time of year also.
Listen, I can't wait, though. I can't wait to get to the NLDS.
NLCS.
I mean,
against the Braves.
NLCS against the Braves. I can't wait.
Yeah.
Oh, I can't wait.
Me?
That's going to be a bit. That's going to be.
You ain't saying nothing but a word, baby.
As long as you two are both there. Every pitch of the MLB playoffs is on ESPN Radio.
Kwame over here to my left.
Coverage of the division series starts today at 12:30. With Braves and Phillies.
Radio Raheem over here to my right.
The road to the World Series goes through ESPN Radio. Catch all the postseason action presented by AutoZone on ESPN Radio and the ESPN app. No, he's love, hate, right? All right. Keyshawn, J. Will, Max, see you tomorrow.
From your radio to your smart speaker and phone.
Now playing ESPN Radio.
Or watch on ESPN2. Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max. Live weekday morning starting at 6 Eastern on ESPN Radio and on ESPN2.